Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. And I want to first apologize. I've been a little quiet these past few weeks. I've been working very hard on driving as much traffic to my free challenge, my free 5-day challenge called the Supercharge Your Website Challenge. And so the podcast had to take a back seat. So apologies if you are rocking up on a Monday saying, where is the episode? But I want to make it up to you. And I thought I could make it up to you by sharing with you a podcast every day for the next 5 days, starting with this episode. I'm doing epic evening Q&A sessions in the Supercharger Website Challenge this week. And I thought it would be really good to share some of the gems of info that I'm discussing with the challengers in there with you guys here on the podcast. So it's definitely an insight into what goes on in the challenge. So if you've never taken part before, you'll get to hear what day one is all about. And day one in the challenge helps our challengers focus on the problem that they solve for their ideal customer and who their ideal customer is. So we don't even touch our websites for the first day at all. So it's a Facebook Live that was recorded this evening. I've trimmed and edited the best bits from the session for your listening pleasure. And I hope you enjoy. And I'll be back tomorrow with the best bits from day two. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Guys, loving that you've joined me for this evening's live. Always really honored that people rock up and join the evening live. So have you done the day one task yet? Guys, have you gone off and done the day one task? Today, we don't actually get hands on with our websites. We can't, right? It's just not the right thing to do on day one of this very short challenge. We're trying to get as much impact for you guys this week as possible. So what we do instead of letting you loose on your websites straight away is we ask you to share your website link first and foremost. For some of you, that might be quite painful, right? So hopefully you've had a good experience sharing your website link with us today. So we've got you to share your website links. And we've started to have a quick look at your websites and get familiar with who's got what website, right? But also, if you haven't nosed around at each other's websites in the day one task, do go and do that. This is why this challenge is so awesome, because we have hundreds of business owners in here. You can look at each other's websites and gauge where you're at versus other people, do a little bit of compare and contrast. You're pretty much all in the same boat, just at varying stages, right? So it should give you some reassurance about where you're at. The other part of the task today as well was getting you to tell us what problem you solve, right? And who you help, whose problem you help to solve, right? Sorry, that wasn't very eloquent. I'll put it the other way around. So who do you help and what problem do they have? And you would be surprised at how difficult this might be for many small business owners, because sometimes we just start doing something like selling a product or service because we're good at it. And, you know, we haven't ever had to do research in the beginning just because we've got referred and business is just there. Or, you know, it's a bit like, oh, well, if I build it, they'll come, right? But yeah, as I can see in the comments today with some of you, you know, you've built websites and you're not getting the traffic and you're wondering why. And quite often it's to do with the fact that we're not being clear about what we're selling, right? and who we're helping. Now, when people land on your website for the very first time, right, the studies have shown that they make a judgment on whether to stay on your website in less than 50 milliseconds or not, right? Less than 50 milliseconds. And so if you haven't, in those 50 milliseconds, communicated really quickly, either through the copy or through the layout or through the imagery that you've got on your website, who you help and how you help, then you run the risk of confusing your ideal customer, right? There is a fine line, like with your jewelry people, right? There is a fine line between someone thinking that you might be a fashion blog versus being a shop, right? It just takes having a call to action like shop now or a statement saying new range in stock to signal to the user, oh, this is a shop where I can buy jewelry, versus having a headline, which is what we think of the latest spring London fashion outfits. You can tell I'm not a fashion person at all. There's a fine line between them. And if your user is judging your website in less than 50 milliseconds or less, you've got to be really clear what you're selling and who you're helping, right? And sometimes we can convey that message really quickly through the imagery that we have on our site, by showing the people that we help, by using visual clues, by showing pictures of our products. But also we need to couple that with the copy, with the words that we've got on our website as well. But before we even touch our websites, if you can't articulate who you help and the problem that you solve in as niched a way of, like I said, in as niched a fashion as possible, then also you run another risk of not really dialing into the people you truly help. I know some of you, when you're doing the task today, you're like, well, I help so many people. I help so many people. And I bet you do. We're not Coca-Cola. We're not Procter & Gamble. We don't have multi-million pound advertising and marketing budgets that we can put on every single platform and create websites that talk to every type of person. Chances are, if you're a small business owner, you're going to be doing one thing at a time. And I would like that for you, just to do one thing really well at a time. So, you know, working really hard on LinkedIn, for example, to write content, to find your ideal customer, to persuade them to come over to your website, right? But if your ideal customer is not on LinkedIn, not really, or if they're not like utilizing certain search terms, or if they're not on the platform that you think they're on, then you're going to be wasting your time and effort. Right. And also you're going to burn yourself out, right? Because if you're on every single platform trying to reach everybody, rather than being specifically on the platform that your ideal customer is on, then you spend a lot of money, burn for a lot of time, and get really frustrated. So just really nailing in to your ideal customer wherever they are. Now, look, I know, again, like, you're like, yeah, that's all very well, Vicky, but genuinely, I help everybody. Right? I'm a gift business. Anyone can buy this gift from me. Well, then what you've got to do is find a way of niching with the product or service that you offer. But really, more than anything else, you need to dial into the problem that you solve, right? The problem that you solve, right? Because every single person here in this challenge, right, if you're selling something via your website, you're solving a problem for someone. Because if people decide to spend money with you, you're helping, they're handing that cash over because you're helping them solve a problem. That problem could be, you know, getting counselling after grief. That problem could be finding the right wig. That problem could be buying the, you know, healthy dog treats for your dog who's had some, you know, health issues, right? And you don't want it to die. You want it to have a really long, healthy life. We've all got problems to be solved, even the frivolous ones, right? Even the frivolous ones, like what top to wear a party next week, because we can do that now, can't we? Or what gift to buy my granny so that I look awesome when she opens it and she says that I'm her favorite grandchild, you know? So if you can't nail down into the specific of the person, can you really nail into the problem that you solve? So you've got those two options of having those on your website reflecting back to your ideal customer. So I'm sure this is going to generate quite a lot of debate in the comments this evening as well. I am going to run through the questions that you guys have asked today. And if you haven't done the day one task yet, I do recommend you go and do that. We will continue to give feedback to that. If you have done it, go and do the bonus task. You can find it in the guide section of the Facebook group. If you have seen the bonus task video today, you would have seen that I drew this lovely image here of my ideal customer, or ICA, ideal client avatar, whatever your flavor of calling the ideal person that you help. And this is a picture here that I'm showing you of Jenny. Jenny is one of my two ideal customers, because you can have more than one, by the way. You can have more than one. I have outlined here the websites that Jenny likes, the email list that she's joined to, the search terms that I think she taps into Google to find a business like mine, and the social networks, just two there that she likes. Why the bonus task is really good, because if you're really struggling with the day one task, you're thinking, I just don't know who I help. I might know the problem, but I don't really know who I help. Then this will help you get in their shoes a little bit more. It'll help you think as an exercise, it helps you to be a bit empathic about, you know, where your ideal customer might live online and what content they might look at online and what would motivate them to come and find a business like yours. And there's no right or wrongs. There's lots of assumptions here about what you could do to find your ideal customer. So don't sweat it if you're assuming that they're mostly on Facebook, but actually they like Instagram, or you've guessed that they might like being on the Guardian website, like I have with Jenny, but actually they rarely visit it. Like, the idea as a task is to get you thinking laterally about where your ideal customer lives online, what motivates them. Start thinking about them and what they want, because hopefully the penny is starting to drop with going through these tasks today, that your website is not about you. It's not about you, I'm afraid, you guys. It's about your ideal customer and their experience of your website, right? So if you can show them and reflect them back to themselves on your website, if you can reflect the problem that you solve back to them, right? If you know where they live online, if you know the type of websites they're already engaging with, the type of search terms they're using to find businesses like yours, emails they like, social networks they like, it just makes the work that you're doing to find them online that little bit easier. And then you can pick the low-hanging fruit and go exactly where your ideal customer is online and talk to them in the exact way that they need to be talked to right now. So Louise has brought up an interesting point here, saying, I'm a therapist, so I want clients myself, but then I want clients for my therapist who rent rooms. We all work in different areas. Here's the thing, right? You can solve multiple problems as a business owner, right? You can totally do that. And that's like what Louise is talking about here. You can sell multiple products, right? You might even have multiple ideal customers. I do. I have Jenny, who's a service-based business, and I have Kate, who is a product-based business. She's a jewelry maker. So Jenny's a bit of a coachy type, a financial coachy type, and Kate is a handmade jewelry person. And the reason why I have two is so that I make sure I don't forget their wants and needs. And they're both on my wall in front of me here in my office. And they remind me every single day why I'm doing this and where I need to go and find them online. Their wants and needs are slightly different. So that's why I've profiled them separately. But it's really important to have. Now, sometimes I'm really focusing on Jenny types, right? My coachy types. And I'm going to go and find her on LinkedIn, because Kate is not on LinkedIn. She is very image-based. She's over on Instagram. She, you know, her Kate's search terms are really different from Jenny's as well. But when I know how each of them find businesses like mine and how they respond to me and businesses like me online, then it just means I can I can spread myself a bit more. Look, I did one ideal customer first. I did Kate first, and then I broadened out to Jenny. So, you know, I feel like I can do that. If you feel like that's overwhelmed for you, then just stick to one thing at one time for sure. But you can rotate your messaging and your imagery on your website, which is a shock to some people. Like you can, I could focus on Jenny 1 month and Kate the next month if I wanted to. And I do with the different products and services that I offer. So don't be held back by thinking that you have to stick with this forever and ever on your website. It's just not true. You can update your website and merchandise it in this, exactly the same way that you can with a bricks and mortar store as well. So I just want to cover a couple of things really quickly as well before I just start on the questions to give you guys some tools like to go off and research your ideal customers with. And I'm hoping as we do this, this might help you answer some of the questions you've got about how to find them online. Okay, so the first thing we're going to cover really quickly is search, right? Search engines are your friend, okay? If you want to know what search terms your ideal customer is using to find you, but you have no idea, right? Just start here simply with the most basic on Google with the most basic keyword that you can think of, right? So this is like Jewelry UK that I've put into Google here, right? And I'm just going to study, like probably after this session, I'll go and study the top 5 pages of results and look at the page names and look at who's dominating it, and I'll go through their blog posts and see the type of keywords that they're using. I'm also using a tool here called Keywords Everywhere, which is a Google Chrome tool that tells me on the side here, like once I've put that first search term in, what are the search terms people are using. Personalized Jewelry UK. Oh, well, if I was a jewelry business not doing personalized jewelry, maybe I could think about doing that. But this is just a really good place to start. It's just being on top of knowing who's ranking on the first couple of pages of Google for particular keywords, right? And you should be using Google and studying Google on an ongoing basis to understand who is showing for the keywords and key phrases that you know your ideal customer is searching for. If you've done the bonus task today, you would have seen me talking about Jenny. Jenny's, because she's a content marketer mostly that needs help with her website, she's mostly asking questions about how many words should a blog post have, right? And if I was to do that search, how many words should a blog post have? And search for that, you know, I've got here competitors and inspiration and companies who are like massive software companies who are much bigger than me, showing me like what I could aspire to. And these are the people that Jenny is going to be finding first. So if I want to be found alongside them, I need to be doing what these guys are doing, essentially, and studying these page titles, studying these posts, and just getting a sense of like, you know, what they're doing so I can emulate that and be found by Jenny. The next thing I highly recommend you guys do if you want to learn more about your ideal customer, right, is just to keep in touch with them. Like use a survey, like surveymonkey.com allows you to send a survey for free for less than for no more than 10 questions. I think it's no more than 10 questions. So you could create a customer survey in here, just asking some very basic questions, maybe about where your ideal customer lives online, the email list that they're subscribed to, the social networks that they like. Just find out more about your ideal customer. Like you could post this survey link on your socials. You could share it with your existing customers via your email list. And this will give you really insightful data about where your ideal customer lives online. And maybe you could even ask them, what made you buy from me? Actually, like find out from the horse's mouth, as it were, especially if you're an equestrian business in here, exactly like why they decided to do business with you. So I highly recommend doing a regular survey to your audience for sure. If you don't have any customers, you're just getting started, you're like, oh, this is all very well, I still don't quite understand where my people are out there, then, you know, I move over to Facebook next, right? And utilize their insights tools, go and use their search tool. And you'll only have access to their insights tool here if you've got like a Facebook business account. But you can go and find, in using this audience insights tool, like people who roughly fit your ideal customer's profile. You can find, like, you can start filtering, I should say, like your ideal customer's rough kind of profile here. Let's say my ideal customer mostly, you know, women aged 30 to 60 here. And maybe I can put in like small business. And, you know, go and find out a little bit more about where they live in the UK and the pages that they like. My ideal customer likes Amazon, Marks and Spencer's, Aldi, Asda, Joe Wicks, the body coach. You guys can't see that. I'll move it up the page a bit. There we go. Joe Wicks, the body coach. Just go and like just do a little bit of light research on your ideal customer. And if you can start there, you know, you can kind of like see the type of pages that they like. You can then go and use Facebook to go and do like research and go and like stalk, like if we was to put in the body coach up here in the Facebook search bar, and it's not going to load because I want to be on there, like go and do a little bit of stalky stalk. There's 4.4 million followers on Joe Wicks's page here. People are commenting, sharing, like go and see, like, what are they talking about? How are they talking? What are they into? You know, if this is your ideal customer, then you can actually just go and see where they're at online and see how they're talking. Another thing I highly recommend if you're on FaceyB as well on Facebook is just to just start being really interested in the ads that are being served to you. These ads are being served to you because you're interested in a particular topic or you've been, the voice has gone, sorry guys, or you've been on someone's website before. So be interested in the ads that are being served to you, okay? And like start to like take note and follow the funnels, and sign up to email lists. This is my email list collection here, a special swipes folder where I sign up to various like massive competitors, like email funnels. And I study their subject lines that they're using in their emails and the content that they're putting in their emails. And it helps me understand what Jenny is searching for. And I highly recommend that you do the same as well. And then the final tool that I recommend utilizing to do research about your ideal customer online is the Facebook Ads Library. You can go and search for like literally every single advertiser who's spending money with Facebook right now. So if we were just looking at Aldi, weren't we? If I go and do a search for Aldi UK, I can see every single ad that they're running at the moment. And as you scroll down the page in the Facebook Ads Library, ads that have been running the longest are towards the bottom of the page, and ads that have been running the longest are kind of like working. And you can see the type of products that and services that they're offering, you know. So whether it like directly relates to Jenny or not, I know she kind of probably likes Aldi, and she's probably, I can kind of roughly see the type of the products that she's into. It just helps me build a profile about her, like the products she likes, the services that she likes. And then when I'm looking online and trying to get inspiration, when I'm creating campaigns and putting assets together to reach Jenny, I can get inspired by this stuff, essentially. Thanks for listening to me croak through that, you guys. Hopefully that makes lots of sense, and that's giving you some inspo to really go and fill in your ideal customer profiles that little bit more. Hey guys, Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the best bits of day one of the Supercharge Your Website Challenge. As you heard, I was talking so much, my voice started to give way towards the end. And also, what we had to edit out as well was my daughter just bombing in a few times because she didn't want to go to bed, just demanding cuddles and paper to draw on and things like that. I mean, this happens every time we do a challenge, and actually, I wouldn't have it any other way. My voice is back to normal now after some good tea and honey. And I hope that listening to that, you got a lot out of the session. And it's made you think about your ideal customer and whether you're actually identifying them correctly with your own website. And join us back here tomorrow for the day two. Recap. Day two is all about seeing if the Supercharge Your Website challenges are walking the walk that they talked today. So I actually want to see if they're actually selling the stuff that they were talking about today. So thanks again so much for listening. If you liked this podcast, be sure to subscribe and please leave a review over on iTunes if you were feeling extra lovely. And I'll see you tomorrow.